Welcome to the Tips and Salsa Podcast, your local source for chips, salsa, and educational technology happenings within the Redlands Unified School District. And here are your hosts, Jamie Quartz, Amber Rosales, Caleb Rothy, and Jen Badney.
Hello, Redlands teachers and staff, and welcome to another episode of Tips and Salsa. I'm your host, Jamie, and I'm joined by our amazing tech coaches, Caleb.
Hello.
Amber.
Hi.
And Jen.
Hey there.
So today's going to be a little bit different of a format. We are going to be talking about one of our favorite applications that we really started implementing this year, which is Canva for Education. And we don't have a guest. We're just going to kind of riff amongst ourselves about our thoughts about Canva and our ideas, how we're using it. So hold on tight, listeners, because this is going to be a little bit different, and hopefully you enjoy.
Yeah, and today Canva is our guest. Aww, thanks for being here, Canva.
Hey, Canva's on my screen.
So before we get going, we got to plug our chips and salsa, and we hope you're enjoying a snack as well. Today we went with a chip that we've had before. This is Chica's Lime Corn Tortilla Chips. I think we discovered this about a year ago, and it was a huge hit for everybody. Found them back in the store. It's like kind of a seasonal thing, I guess. So we got those, and we also got some cilantro lime salsa. So we've got a lime theme going on today with our salsa and our chips. What does everybody think?
Fan.
I like it.
I like it. It's my first time trying this, so it's good.
Yeah. The chips are a 10. For me, the salsa is like a 7.5. It's good.
I agree. I really like the chips. I mean, it's pretty acidic.
Yeah. The lime is very powerful.
Yeah, it's powerful.
But so good. So if you haven't had Chica's lime chips, definitely worth a try. Go out and get yourself a bag.
Where do you get it from, Caleb?
Costco is where I like to get them because you can get a large bag and the price is a little bit better, but they're also available at places like Stater Brothers and Sprouts and other local grocery stores like that.
And you don't need to have the salsa with it. You can just eat it
without the salsa. Standalone.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. The chip can be a standalone. That's very good. Yep. All right, so we're going to dive into Canva for Education today, which Redlands Unified teachers know we rolled out at the beginning of this year, accounts for all teachers and all students district-wide. So we've got this tool. We've been doing some workshops throughout the year. We've been plugging this in our newsletters. And we know that teachers and students have been using it across the district. Many have shared some of the awesome projects that they've done with us. So we wanted to get together today and talk a little bit about what this tool is, how we think it can benefit both teachers and students, and share some of the lessons that we've learned along the way. One of the first things that I wanted to do in this episode was just plug some of the ways that we have been using Canva that Redlands teachers may be familiar with or may have seen before. I think Jen, Amber, and myself are Canva users from way back, way before we had the district official accounts. We all signed up for the free accounts. We, you know, applied for their little teacher education program, and then we eventually were able to bring this district wide. So we use Canva. We've been using it frequently for a long time. If you've ever been to one of our YouTube videos, you know that there's a nice little thumbnail that precedes each one of those. Every single one of those thumbnails, we're like up over 100 now. Those were all built in Canva. That is our graphic design tool of choice. And so it makes what we do look super professional when it's really just a couple of people together in an office trying to cobble together some videos. Also, for anybody that's seen our newsletter, every graphic that you see in the newsletter is something that we've built in Canva. So we use that tool regularly to make sure that we have original creations as our graphic tools in the newsletter. And also all the stickers that our department has ever produced. Any of those stickers, we know they're on a lot of laptops around the district. All of those were built in Canva as well. And then we send those out to a company to manufacture the stickers. But the artwork is all generated inside Canva. Jen, you okay over there?
Yeah, the acidity got to her.
Yeah.
I let out a little like moan or groan vocal thing, and you were talking, and it had nothing to do with what you
were. I thought you were just like vehemently agreeing with Caleb.
Yeah, she's passionate about Canva for sticker design.
I am passionate about Canva.
Yeah.
That is a true statement.
I was thinking of this, and one of the things that I think makes this super successful is almost what you just said, Caleb. It feels like everybody I talk to has been using Canva in their personal life in one way or another for years. And just by it become us all getting the pro license, you know, all the extra features and everything, and it being inherent within our sort of ecosystem, it just like made it even better. So yeah, it was just something that we naturally already gravitated and used already.
Yeah, and I think one of the big advantages for this is we look in education, we talk a lot about creativity, we talk a lot about student choice, we talk a lot about authenticity with student work. And Canva for us is just one of those tools that makes it so easy to up the ante with that in our classrooms, because we can put students on this and say, hey, rather than complete this standard assignment that I've been doing for, you know, 5+ years, we just completed this unit of study. I want you to now show me what you learned, show me what you know, but do it in a creative way. Do it in something that's unique for you. Previously, that was so super complicated to do because the tools were complicated and there was a lot of, like, the learning curve is pretty steep. Canva really minimizes a lot of that and just allows us to put students on it and immediately, you know, kind of spark their creativity and let them get going in expressing what they know, what they've learned, ideas that they have in new and creative ways. So I think that's why it's such a powerful tool and why so many teachers and students have already kind of gravitated towards it.
Yeah. And then, like, speaking of some of the stuff that we've done, I was just working on Canva today. I just did the helped with the brochure that we're going to be doing for our film fest. So those, if you come to our film fest, you'll be seeing those printed out. But anything, and if you receive any of the resources that I send out for the month, I create those in Canva and I kind of do an app smash and put many of those into Google Slides. So, and if you have attended any of our Canva trainings, you have received, speaking of stickers, as Caleb referenced, we actually have a one-of-a-kind limited edition Canva sticker that is floating around.
It's got some bling.
Yep, a little bit of bling. We picked out two this week.
Yeah, the sparkle sticker. I like that one a lot.
Yeah, it's a pretty one.
You just gave me an aha a second ago, Caleb. And a lot of what we encourage is students to have choice in a technology tool or an app that will make what they need to do easier or better or more efficient. So as an adult, we do that too. We look online and we Google stuff and find applications and tools that make our life easier. So one of the things that we do every Christmas is we do the Christmas card and we go on to Shutterfly. You know, you pay all that money to what are those services and then you go into their templates and you design it and you pay all this money to this company and they send you the whatever. So that's one of the first things that I did just as an adult is, oh, why don't I make a Christmas card in Canva? Yep. So you just go to the template, you know, for a Christmas card, and then it gives you almost the same amount of templates and ideas that you would in one of those services, except you can create it yourself and customize it yourself.
Yeah.
And then you can go to the, what's it called, the share? Or the you can actually have Canva print it or produce it for you and mail it straight to Staples or whatever. It's literally the greatest thing ever. But it was something that I do all the time that I just I just basically seized the creative license by using the template.
Yeah, you grab their base work that they did and then customize it for your purpose. And the more comfortable you get with this, the more you realize, like, oh, I can modify anything in here. I can delete anything. I can change the color of anything. I can add new things. I can move things around. But you don't have to get started by building something from scratch. You can kind of jump into something that's already there.
And so last year, all you around me were working in Canva and making really creative and beautiful designs. And I would go to the website and be completely overwhelmed and would just click out of it and go back to Google Slides.
Yeah.
But I made, you know, just kind of a commitment to myself to say from now on, I'm just going to start using it. And it is so much better than Google Slides in creating things.
Yeah.
You have so much more flexibility and you have a lot of options. And I have two kids and one of them would always say, I hate when teachers say be creative, but he did not have the capability of using Canva back then.
Yeah.
Because, you know, how do you be creative if you don't like to draw or, you know, if it's just coloring? Here, you learn how to layer your graphics. So if you're like, oh, I'd like to put a frog on mine. Well, I'm going to search frogs. Oh, I have a sticker frog. I have a photo frog. I have this other graphic, that a clip art frog. There's so many offerings for you to take and put into your design. So like once you jump in there and you start working with it, then it becomes like workable, and then you start like realizing how much it offers you. But I do start often with a template now.
Yeah.
And I can just search in like something that I've shared with a lot of teachers is an infographic. It's a different way of producing for a student to produce content. Mm-hmm. And you can just type in infographic, and then you can give it a few criteria, like three sections and, you know, a specific color. And then you have about 20 different infographics to choose from, and it's just a base. You can click on it, put it in the editing mode, and then start changing and locking down what you want to stay.
Yeah.
And keep open what you want your kids to have the ability to, you know, change.
One of the things I love about it is if you already know what you want to build, for instance, an infographic like Jen said, or a Christmas card like Jamie said, you can just go to the search box that's on Canva and type in infographic, and it will then give you all of the infographics that it already has in its library that are pre-built and ready for you to use and customize, or cards or invitations or flyers or presentation. You can type anything into that box. So that's pretty amazing and really helpful, because I think for those that are trying to be creative, that blank canvas is usually one of the toughest parts. You're just looking at a white rectangle and you're like, well, now what? What do I build now? So if you can start somewhere with something that's already kind of gotten the ball rolling, it's a lot easier. So the search box is great. I know another great place to go is if you're not even sure what you want to build, you can just go to the templates menu on the side. Just look for the word templates, click that. And then in there, there are all sorts of filters that you can apply. So you can say, okay, I want math things right now, or I want things for fifth grade right now, or I just want presentations. Show me what the options will be for that. They've got all sorts of filters and buttons that you can click, and that will allow you to drill down into what templates already exist. And they've got a ton of different types of templates in there, right? Like, what are some of the things that teachers might find in the templates area that might be useful for a classroom?
Well, they have bulk create. I don't know if you've used this, but they have a bulk create feature. So as a teacher, I might be going in and putting in certificates that I want to give to my students. And instead of going over there and having to type each student's name individually, I can go and link a table using bulk create, and then Canva, I can just press a button and Canva will fill out that whole, all of those certificates for me. So I can find a certificate that I like, a template design that I like, and then within 5 minutes, if I have all my student roster, I can have those completed and printed in no time at all. And so that's just one. And then that's a great thing for office managers too. All of those office managers who are doing, I know at Bryn Mawr, when I was at Bryn Mawr, the office managers would go in and manually type each student's name in there. But if you have that and they have the spreadsheet, they can go and put that in there, and it would save a lot of time. So that's just one way of using a way that you can use templates for time efficiency.
Yeah, and especially this time of year with those certificates. Okay. I mean, it's like a lifesaver at this point. You can just type in the word certificate and then use bulk create, and You got something that looks beautiful.
Okay. Every time Amber's asked this question, she comes up with something new, and I never know what it is.
I've never heard of that before.
I never heard of that.
It's awesome. Is that, Amber, is that almost like a mail merge? So could you like populate certain fields and areas in the certificate?
Yeah. So they have different things in that table, and then it will put that in there. So your date and all of that stuff that you want it to have. Yeah. So instead of having to manually go in there and do it for each individual certificate, especially like for end of the year or your trimester awards, or like I want to do it for students who are student of the month or my reading and AR, all of those things. So it's a really cool resource that I don't think teachers know a lot about, and even if for people who've been using Canva for a while. So I did want to kind of plug that in.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Amber does do this, huh, Jen? Like every time we do this, it's a brand new thing. We're like, what?
Right. No, when she's just started speaking, I'm thinking maybe she'll do this, or this. Like I was trying to predict. No,
brand new.
No, she spent like 10 minutes in Canva and found a new feature.
Right.
Thank you.
She selected none of the above. And I love it.
I am not predictable. No,
absolutely not.
So speaking of great things that teachers can do with it, what are some of the other things that you think teachers should try with this, or that you've seen available in Canva that teachers might be interested, or even things that you've seen teachers do in the classroom? Because I know we have a few that have shared awesome things that they've built. Love to hear from the group. What are some of the things teachers could use Canva for?
Okay, this is one of my favorite tools. You can upload a PDF into Canva, and Canva will turn it into a dynamic worksheet in the sense that all the different pieces are now movable. They are its own individual entity. So if you did not like question 5 on the worksheet that you uploaded, question 5 can be deleted. You don't have to, like back in the day, I would cut out sections and paste them and then make another new 5 and I'd have to write number 5. And
walk over to the photocopy machine.
Do it, and then sometimes white out if like the tape marks were still there. But you don't have to do that. You just upload it, click on it, delete it, and type your own number 5. It's fabulous.
It really is amazing. If you haven't used this yet, it's one of the best things you can do. You go to the little uploads area in Canva and upload a PDF that you already have, and your mind will be blown about how editable and customizable that PDF becomes. You can basically manipulate just about anything on the PDF and customize it to your purposes in class. It's like a game changer for teachers, for sure.
Well, what are the things at the top? You've got docs, videos,
Social media,
presentation. So just right there, there's a menu of things that we do every day, or we ask kids to do every day.
One of the other components that I like in Canva that I think is undervalued by a lot of people is the whiteboard feature that's in there. Now, we're probably familiar with the whiteboards that are built into our new line devices. And those are cool, but they're a little basic. Canva has a much more advanced whiteboard app essentially in there that either you can have students fire that up on their own and now they've got a whiteboard on their computer that they can use and manipulate, or you can pull it up on your new line and have this amazing whiteboard that you can add different media components to it, and you've got all sorts of options with pens and things like that. So Canva is not just for creating a static graphic, but you can use it as an interactive station or activity in your class. If you haven't poked around with the whiteboard feature yet, definitely do so, because there's all sorts of pre-built things in there. There's thinking maps and organization charts, you can pre-populate one of those and then just go to town with a live whiteboard activity in class. It's really cool.
I can piggyback off of that, though, because you know that Jamboard is going to be exiting or being retired.
Yep.
And so that would be something that would be a good alternative to using Jamboard in your classroom, because all of their students have a Canva account and they can all pop in and add a post-it note or anything on there. And you can just, instead of going to another slide in Canva, you would just move along on the whiteboard. Right. And what's cool about the whiteboard is that it just keeps going on and extending. Yeah, so you can put a whole bunch of resources in one place, and then kids can navigate to where you need them to go.
Does Canva have a feature kind of like Pear Deck where kids can join in like a shared shared feature where the you know what I'm saying? Like
it's not a managed presentation the way that's like that Pear Deck is, but through Canva, you can make something in Canva and share it out to your whole class. Google Classroom is a great way to be able to do that. And if you set the permissions to where anybody can edit, now the whole class is together on this Canva document. And now you can say, hey, everybody, add one thought, add one fact that you learned from this chapter onto this Canva whiteboard or presentation or whatever. And so it can become a group collaborative tool very, very easily just with the share permissions.
And then if we had that on the whiteboard, people can kind of see in real time what's being added. Okay, that's really cool.
And if you wanted to make something and share it and make a copy, you can do that as well. There's a process. You go to share and then assignment and then pick Google Classroom. And one of the options is make this a copy for students.
And if I have I could actually lock my image or math problem or something. So
there's some, once you get in there, we've covered this in some of our workshops where you can do a full lock, a partial lock, and then unlock components in it. And so you can kind of control what gets editable and what's not editable about it.
Yeah. So listeners, just imagine like a tool where as you're using it, you're like, man, I wish it could do this. And you like, oh my gosh, it does that. Mm-hmm. Oh man, what if it could do this? Oh my gosh, it does. It's one of those programs where like, it's almost so natural, you know, where everything that you would think it should do or want it to be able to do, it does.
One other thing I want to plug about Canva is the presentation part of Canva. And I think this is equally good for teachers as well as for students. Now, I think as teachers, one of the things that we do a lot is we build presentations, and we use that a lot for our instruction. Sometimes it's direct instruction, sometimes it's interactive things. But that's a great way to be able to add visual components to whatever lesson you have for the day. And so I started my career using PowerPoint very heavily and then transitioned into Google Slides. And I've been using Google Slides almost exclusively for the last 6 or 7 years or so. And I know many teachers around the district are probably in the same camp. Canva is yet another tool that you can use for presentations. So now you've got PowerPoint, Google Slides, and Canva, I would say, are now kind of the big three for this. So teachers, I would encourage you, next time you need to build a new slide deck, instead of building it in Slides, I'd love to encourage you to come do it in Canva instead. Just try to build your presentation there, because I think you'll be pretty blown away at some of the additional features and tools that are in there. And some of their templates and their base level designs are just very elevated and look very graphically rich. And so it's a great thing for teachers to get into. Next time you're going to go build a presentation, try doing it in Canva, because it's a great way to learn how the tool works, and also a great thing for you to encourage your students to do and to dive into.
Off the topic, but when I started teaching, I had a chalkboard and a digital machine. Eventually, it graduated to an overhead projector, then PowerPoint, then Canva.
Yeah.
I had an old overhead projector in my second classroom. Yeah. But to piggyback off of what you were saying, if you want to add some pizzazz to your presentations, if you hit shift and the question mark on your computer while you're in presentation mode, you can go and find all of the magic shortcuts where you can blur your screen. You could make a quiet emoji for your class. You can do a mic drop. You can do confetti. You can even put up any of the numbers and do a timer right there without having to go and embed that into your slide deck. So it's pretty, they have some really cool features in Canva that Google Slides doesn't have. And so it really, to up your engagement with your students, it could be a really cool tool.
Yeah, I love Google Slides, but Google Slides definitely looks like the manual crank window once you start using this. I mean, Canva's got the like heated seats and the adjustable power features and all that stuff. It's right built in there, and it's a pretty cool thing. What are some of the other things that teachers could build or do with Canva that we haven't talked about yet? Anything else that anybody wants to bring to the surface?
I've seen some teachers using Canva as far as for their classroom decor. So they've been using them to create different posters. So when I've gone into classrooms, they're like, I created that in Canva. And so you can create, I've even seen like borders and posters with your classroom rules or your goals or anything on them, your mission statement. And then I've also seen them using, teachers are also using them for flyers, and that's what they're sending out as for parents and their newsletters that they're sending home. So that's cool. I would I'm going back into the classroom, so I'm definitely going to be using it for choice boards and having my students be able to go in there and design my choice boards so that they can work independently and be able to have more choice in what they're able to produce as far as products and everything like that. So I'm excited to I think that for teachers, it makes it a lot easier because there are different templates that they can use from there instead of having to create create one from scratch. And they actually have different board game ones in there where you can kind of go through it to make it fun, like a little game for them. So I can hyperlink and I can do that digitally, put that on my Google Classroom, and now kids can go independently and work through their choice boards. I think it'll be more engaging for them. And then they'll also be able to own their learning a little bit more because they can select what kind of product I want to do. And that goes for like projects that we're working on too. Instead of doing a Google Slides like I see a lot of people doing, I can do a presentation, but I could do a podcast. I could do a video. I can do a brochure. And now I have a lot more options than I had before.
Yeah. And that kind of, Jen.
When you were talking, I had an idea.
I know. My brain's like flying right now.
You sound like me, Jen.
I had a memory, I should say. So prior to Canvar, when teachers were creating presentations, they, you know, Canva, Google Slides came with some themes, but then they wanted to have some other themes, prettier ones, you know, just they were bored with what Google was giving you. So we had Slides Mania, we had Slides Go, we had Slides Carnival. This year, a handful of people have reached out to us asking for those options, those three, Carnivals, Go, and Mania, to be open for our students. And unfortunately, we can't open those up because of the privacy concerns. Those companies' privacy policies don't align with our guidelines for student data protection. But my answer to that is always, we have Canva. Canva is safe. Right. Canva comes with templates similar to Slides Go, Slides Carnival, and Slides Mania. So if you're a teacher out there and students are asking to use other alternatives to create a Google Slide, please guide them towards Canva to do that creation.
Yeah, and I think both your point and Amber's point kind of takes us into the next topic, which is what can students do with all this? Before we go to that, though, I want to plug two other cool things that I've seen teachers use Canva for, and that's creating banners for their Google Classrooms, like custom banners. You can build that in Canva, which is really awesome, and also email signatures. I've seen a lot of people that are building little graphics for themselves, and then they incorporate that as their email signature.
And Google Banner is a choice. Like if you say create a design, a lot of different options pop up because they're different sizes. Like, do you want a presentation that's going to be 16x9? But one of those options is Google Banner. So like it's the exact size that you will need to upload it and fit nicely within that space.
Yep. In your classroom. Super awesome. So what are some of the other things that students could do with Canva? We talked about infographics. We talked about presentations. What are some other ideas that you have or that you've seen?
Okay, here students? We go. Amber, I see Amber's.
Oh, yeah, she's ready to go.
All right, hold on. Stretch.
I've had my students using Canva last year, the year before. I was using Canva when I was doing broadcasting with my students, and I had students making our flyers. I did not make the flyers for our movie premiere. My students were making those. My students were making the tickets. They were designing them. Then we were voting on them as a class of what would be printed. And so we would actually upload those designs into a Google form, and then students were able to vote using a Google form, and they were able to see all of the options, and then they were able to select it. So it was really cool because kids were really competitive because they wanted their design to be printed.
Yes.
But we did the same thing for – I also had them creating buttons. I had them creating the logo for our broadcasting. I had them creating stickers. And so the kids were doing all of these things. And we also used them – we also used Canva part of the videos. We would use them in our – we liked – the animations that you could put in the background. So we actually were exporting them as videos and then putting them into WeVideo for part of our broadcasting when we wanted a better background or when we wanted a better title slide for what was coming up. So we did do some app smashing before we were actually using Canva for video. But yeah, those are some things that I did with just having students using it and putting the tools. And I was still exploring Canva on my own, and students were asking me how to do things. And I was like, I'm trying it too. We're learning together. And so just putting them on there, and they were teaching me, and we were learning. When we found something cool, we were sharing with each other. And so, if you're afraid of using it with students, just let them jump in. If you're afraid that you're a novice in this, just let them jump in and you guys can kind of learn together.
I think that's one of the most powerful things about Canva. It's so intuitive. Mm-hmm. And you can really teach yourself most of this just by clicking, just by being curious, getting in there and being like, what happens if I click on this? And like kids, very young kids can do this. You just need to put them on it and open it up as a possibility for them. And then they come up with amazing things like all the stuff that Amber just said.
And I've been in first grade classrooms doing lessons little in kids. Canva. Yeah. First graders, I think that's the lowest I've been in, but I'm sure you can do it with kindergarten. And we were doing first grade lessons. Jen has one next week.
Yep, on Tuesday.
And just showing them how to do it. And then once we do that, they're catching on really quickly. And then giving them time to, and then they also, after they do their lesson that we do with them, then they have time to explore on their own. Mm.
One of the other things that I'm excited about in Canva for students is they've recently been really upping the game with their video production elements in there. So if you haven't tried that as a teacher, it would be worthwhile to get in there and see just how easy it is to make a really good looking video. The learning curve on this isn't too high. Like once you know the main Canva tool, all of that can be applied to the videos pretty easily. So it's a great way to just say, hey, for this project, you know, like Amber is talking about, here's a choice board of three different ways to show me what you learned from this last module. One of those could be produce a video in Canva, and they'll blow you away with some pretty good looking stuff. And Canva is going to help them make it beautiful and aesthetically pleasing and, you know, well-paced and all that good stuff.
Yeah. And you can do short videos too. So I was doing one just having them, and Canva has this really cool tool, and I'm excited to try this with a class. I've done it on my own, but I haven't done it with a class. So if you're interested, you can go over and you select up to 10 photos, and Canva will create a video template for you where they will put all of the photos in there. They will give you – and then you put the text, what topic you want it to. So I did it on Frida Kahlo, and I had her go in there for women's history, and I just said, give me some – use some fact, create a video using facts about her. And every single slide had some information and had music already perfectly put to it, and they had animations already set. So AI kind of like did that for me. But then I was able to go and I could edit all of those things. So it was a perfect thing where I can send that as a template. I could have that done, send that as a template to students. They can change out the pictures. They can type out their writing with their stuff and they can modify it, but they already have it all set up as a template for them that they can then switch out, and they can create their own video very quickly. That is a good quality video.
So I think that's the next great thing to talk about. Amber, you kind of touched on this a little bit, but are some of the AI features that are built into Canva and some of the amazing like tools that are leveraging some of its behind the scenes AI. So I figure that's what we would kind of talk about last, are some of those essential tools that are built into Canva that teachers or that we have found ourselves using frequently, and some of the cool Canva AI things. So anybody want to kick this off? Like specifically, let's talk about, you know, because I know AI is off for most students, but it's on in Canva for image generation. Anybody want to talk about like what that is and how that works in Canva?
Sorry. The first one that I ever did was Yoda, no, Grogu on a surfboard holding a lightsaber, riding a wave. And it produced an image of Grogu on a surfboard riding a wave with a lightsaber. And it was incredible. And then it gave like four different ones and you could regenerate it and just keep going.
One of the things that I love about that is sometimes you have a picture in your head for like a presentation or a graphic that you're making or something like that, and you're like, I can't find it anywhere. There's nothing that's exactly what I'm looking for. You now have the ability in there through the AI tool in Canva to just type in with text, what I need is, you know, a picture of somebody doing this at the park, and it will make an AI generated one, and then you're like, oh, that's exactly what I was looking for. Now I can put that into my presentation or into my graphic or something like that. It's a pretty cool feature for teachers and also for students. Like the first time students try that, it just kind of blows their mind. They're like, whoa, I can be so creative with this. Yes, that is the goal with all of it.
Magic Me, and the one that they have for Canva is Magic Media, and then you can make videos in there as well. Oh, the videos aren't as long, or, you know, they're... I'm
your
still
results
struggling
may vary.
Like 3 seconds. With the video. Yeah. I want to love the video. Yeah. I have yet to love the video yet. But they have other ones. If you go into the apps, you have other ones like the DALL-E, which is Microsoft's image one that's run with...
I think that's the OpenAI one.
But they have a lot of other ones that you can use. If so, you can test out your prompt in different apps, and then see which one yields the best picture. I had to do that when I was doing. I was doing virtual field trips. I was doing a choice board resource, and you clicked on it. But I wanted the background to be a spooky bus because I wanted it to be for a field trip. And I planned to play around with different platforms until I found the right one. But I found one that was done by AI, and then I was able to use it. So I think that prompting is very important when you're trying to figure out if what you get, your product, isn't what you wanted, then you have to go and fine tune your prompt in order to make it what you want it to be.
I did the video once, and it wasn't perfect, but it was like waves coming in and, you know, certain scenery, and it gave like 4 seconds. Yeah. But then I just snipped it and just kind of clipped it and clipped it and clipped it. And,
repeat.
Yeah, just repeated. But the way it was is it looked pretty good, you know, in the context of what I was trying to do. But it was just in that sense. But yeah, I'm excited for the next few years as this develops, you know, better.
You've heard us say apps a few times, or maybe just Amber. Amber,
I say a lot
you
of
like,
things.
You so. Like the apps a lot. But if you're wondering, where do you find those apps? If you're in Canva in the editing part and you see the sidebar on the left-hand side, kind of in the middle, if you scroll down, you've got like a little grid. It's kind of like a waffle. It says apps above it. Click that, and then that's going to open up a world of new for you.
Yeah, and all the apps are basically extra features that, you know, can kind of be added into this. One of the other things that I love about Canva is how close it gets you to Photoshop level skill without having to know all the Photoshop stuff behind the scenes. So I'm sure we've all had that, you know, scenario before where you get a great image and you're like, but I wish I could remove the background, or I wish I could blur this portion or move this object over here. And, you know, there are some Photoshop wizards out there that could do that, but that's always felt out of reach for us as teachers. And Canva, through some of their back end, you know, AI tools, has made it really easy for us to do some stuff like that. So I figured we should probably try to, you know, kind of pitch a couple of those features in there. I think this is all part of their Magic Studio components now, which give you additional ability. So if you get an image or something like that in Canva and you click the edit photo option or, you know, whatever that button is, you'll get that sidebar with all those little extra buttons in there. Jen or Amber, I'll let either one of you take this. What are some of your favorite little features in there that you think more teachers should know about?
Well, the first one that people will be familiar with is BG Remover. So I know a lot of people go to Remove Background, that website. And before I knew about this, I would remove it and then remove the background outside of Canva and then upload it into Canva. And then when I realized it was already baked
already in
Canva, I was like, whoa! So that's a go-to that teachers can start using immediately.
My favorite, the one that I use the most, I think, outside of background remover is the Magic Eraser. I use that a lot. In a PNG, you can remove pieces that you don't want and it'll completely remove it. But if you're using a regular image and you wanted, say you, there was an extra person in your picture that you did not want to be in there, you could go over that and kind of erase that person out. And Canva will use their AI detector to kind of see what that background would be and replace what the background would be with that person gone. So I really like that feature. And again, it's not going to be like big white space there if you have a background, but it will take out chunks in if you have a PNG. So I use this with a fifth grade classroom over at Mariposa. And what we had them do is we were doing Old Yeller. And if you're not familiar with the story, Old Yeller has a piece missing from its ear. And so the students we were creating posters, movie posters, and they wanted to be accurate. So we removed the background. We found a golden retriever picture that they liked. Some of them removed the background, and then they used Magic Eraser, and then they were able to take a little piece of the ear out of it. And then that was just like a simple tool that they were able to use. And just to make their posters more accurate. And that wasn't even my idea. That was one of the students like, can we do this? And I was like, yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Great idea. Like, that was next on my list. Those are both great. I love using both those all the time. I'm a little jealous that you two picked both those. But I'll give you a third one that I like a lot. If you haven't tried it yet, check out Magic Grab.
Yeah, that's
that one allows you to grab an object that is in your image. So imagine like there's the background, there's the foreground. And so you can basically grab an object that's in the foreground and you can move it somewhere else in the image. So it's kind of using a little bit of that magic eraser technology and allowing you to grab something. So imagine there's like a person standing in the front of the scene. You can magic grab that person and move them somewhere else in the image. It's just crazy how well it works. And you can also do things like once you do magic grab and you've kind of separated that person from the rest of the image, you can like resize the person, you can flip them upside down. I mean, you can do all sorts of interesting things, recolor individual components. So it allows you to do some pretty sophisticated editing without having to do the, you know, $1,000 Photoshop course that takes you 3 months to learn all the bells and whistles. These are like just simple click and make it happen features in Canva.
And I like about that too is though you can kind of use it as a background remover as well. So you can decide if I wanted this object out but I want to use the background, I could still use that background without that object in there. But just to keep in mind when you are using Magic Grab, it's not going to pick every single object in there. It's only going to focus on the subject of your photo. So whatever is most prominent is what you're going to be able to manipulate and move. So that just keep that in mind when you're choosing the tool that you want to use. And then to get to that, if you need to get to the Magic Studio, you're just going to click on that that image that you want. And then at the top, it's going to say Edit Photo. Click on that, and right. Then you will have the sidebar will pop up with all of those options for you.
So essentially, thanks to Canva, we're rewriting history in every photo that we have.
Yes.
We're like removing family members and like shrinking people and growing people and changing their hair color. And
gone are the days of just like scratching out the person on the photo, know. Upload it, and just
it's just like totally rewritten. Yeah. Placing us on the moon and all kinds of weird stuff.
I did. I was helping some teachers. They wanted to do a story writing for their students, and they had their pets that they wanted to be in a photo together so that their students could write a story that went with it. And so I used the photo. I used Magic Design to bring their two images into a scene. And using those tools, I was able to create a photo that looked like their cats were together.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, the next step is you got to make them fight and we got to have a battle scene and add armor and all sorts of different crazy things.
Armor.
Yes. All right. So I think that takes us to the end of the bulk of all of this. But before we end this episode, there's a key person here that has not yet been in the hot seat. So Jen, I was wondering if you can put our very own Amber in the hot seat today.
Hot seat. Here we go.
Okay. 1 minute is up on the clock. On your mark, get set, go.
Mild, medium, or hot salsa?
Medium.
How many ideas do you have per minute?
A million.
Are you afraid of ghosts?
No.
Name a country you'd like to visit.
Greece.
Name only one Canva feature that you like the most.
Oh
gosh.
Or your favorite currently.
Design Magic Studio.
That's podcast, like six different things.
Podcast, but one group. Podcast listener or book reader?
Both.
Do you like to multitask?
Yes.
Camping or glamping?
Camping.
On a scale of 1 to 10, rate app smashing?
Oh, 10. Like a million, 11. 11.
Do you have any hobbies?
Too many to count. reading and crafting.
Oh, cool.
And camping and Magic Studio.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you prefer city life or photoshopping yourself into a rural living scene?
I would love to be in a countryside if I could.
All right. Time's up. That was great. That was great, Amber. Great.
Our very own Amber. There you go. Well, that's a wrap for today's episode of Tips and Salsa. We hope you enjoyed our different little format here on this episode. It's been awesome to talk about this feature that all of you have hopefully been using, and if not, that you'll try. So as always, to our millions of listeners out there on 6 out of 7 continents, we're still working on Antarctica. Keep up the amazing innovation in your classrooms, and maybe, just maybe, you might be the next guest on Tips and Salsa. But until then, this is RUSD EdTech
signing off.
He's so not ready.
Hello, Redlands Unified School District.
I'm ready for waiting for the crunching to stop.
But you can, you know, do something else.
Can't do something else. I'm nervous.
You should be.
I'm still, I don't know what I like.
First thing that comes to your mind.
Okay. Yep. We'll see.